Hey, Kerry.
Hello.
It's that time again.
It is. It's our Consumer Electronics Show, CES, show special.
Is it?
It is.
Let's go for it. Hey, I don't know about you. You thought, hello, listener. You've come in mid-conversation there. Hello, Kerry.
Hello.
You love technology, don't you?
I'm a bit of a fan, yeah.
You're a tech nut, aren't you? Tech nut, would you say that?
Yeah, pretty much.
Have you always been that way?
Probably more recently, probably the last 5 years.
Okay, that's fair enough. So, yeah, we're going to talk about CES in this tiny giant jam. Obviously, it's only just happened in Las Vegas. Gets lots of coverage. Do you want to know, if we get cracking into the sort of the things we've seen,
yep,
and the things we like and all that, shall I give you a little background for both yourself, you might know all this, right, I don't know, and the listener, regarding like history and stuff. So I did a little bit of research,
okay,
to prove we don't just throw these things up out of nowhere. So CES, Consumer Electronics Show, it's in Las Vegas. It was the 52nd year.
Was it?
It was. Wow. It started in 1967.
Blimey.
Funny enough, right? And what I thought was interesting, it's got a strange parallel with South by Southwest, obviously the interactive show that happens in Austin, Texas in March. Insofar as, I mean, that's something I'm much more familiar with, but that originally started as a music festival that's become,
yep,
music, film and interactive. Bizarrely, CES started as part of the Chicago Music Show.
No, really.
So I presume, I don't know this, I was going to say I wasn't around in 1967, but my birth certificate suggests otherwise, Kerry, that I guess when it by music show, it means like, you know, the sort of equipment to listen to music back in 67. So it started, funny enough, it came out of the Chicago Music Show, and the first was in New York.
Right.
And this is the thing, why I'm giving you this history lesson, is because apparently the statistics were the first event, 17,000 attendees, right? This one, somewhere in the region of 170,000, right?
Okay.
But what was amazing to me about this year's event, 7,000 of those attendees are the press.
Really?
That's why
I got so much coverage then.
Exactly, 7,000. So that's where we are. So it's happened. So we thought we'd be topical, didn't we?
We did.
And so probably we're going to pick a few things we liked.
Yeah.
Well, let's see where we go. You've got you've compiled a nice little list, haven't you? With faves,
uh-huh,
you've cast your eye.
Got a few things that.
So
I've,
throw one into the mix, Kerry.
Well, first of all, there's quite a lot there. I think in terms of voice, so there was an Alexa ceiling light. There was Alexa in a toilet. There was also a Google who've created a smart clock for sort of a little bedside smart clock, which is also. Becomes a screen for a Google screen, so you can interact with that. But when you're not using it as a Google device, it just is just like a clock. So that was quite good. The Alexa toilet was quite bonkers for me. Did you see that?
I saw it, but I mean, for the sake of those who are unaware, we call it a toilet, a commode. What are we calling it?
I've called it a toilet.
You know what I'd love to call it? Wouldn't it be amazing when they bring out 2.0? There's a little joke there.
Oh, God.
You have to think about that. When you say an Alexa toilet, I think you need to...
It creates the perfect ambience, apparently. So it's got speakers and it's got lighting and it's got a heated seat and it does the cleaning. And I don't know why you would speak to it, but you can speak to it as well.
Sometimes you
might want to order something.
I'm going to just stay out of this conversation at that point.
So that was interesting.
I'd say one of the things about CES, because the sort of big media coverage, to my mind, a certain extent that you see, is about big players, isn't it? Because they got the big budgets, they got big PR. So your Googles, your Amazons, your Samsungs, your LGs.
Google made a theme park in the...
Like a roller coaster car park.
A huge, like Disney-style film ride.
Who? It's Google, this was.
Google in the car park.
And what was the theme of the theme park?
I don't know what
dystopian
it was.
Dystopian futures, or was it bright and beautiful?
It was just
something about happiness.
Maybe. Something. But the fact is, it was absolutely enormous and took over the whole parking lot.
So. Well, that's dominating. Yeah. Love that. Yeah. Event domination. Yeah. So what else caught your eye?
So I also liked the brain-stimulating headphones, which apparently deliver little small electrical impulses into the area of the brain that controls body movement, and it makes it more sort of adds to a state of high hyperplasticity. So it makes word? Hyperplasticity. And it makes your that area of the brain more receptive to learning in the physical environment. So it increases your strength and your reaction times and your precision of movement. So you can listen to music and your headphones can also help your body to be more precise and stronger and more precise.
Okay.
So I thought that was quite cool. Apparently that's second generation, so the brain stimulating headphones are already in existence, but they've been really good from a brain stimulation point of view, but not so great in actually sounding really good in terms of listening to music. So they've rectified that now, and it's got this dual purpose, which is pretty cool.
Is that something, because it is a consumer electronics show, is that something as a consumer that you would, if that was an opportunity to have some of that?
It sounds quite interesting. Definitely explore it. I think it depends how much they were, to be honest.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's, I thought that was quite interesting. And then I think the most bonkers thing that I read over the course of the whole event was something called Little Cat. It's a South Korean invention from a company called Pet Ding. And it was a hamster wheel for your cat.
I think we should, before you go any further, I think we should give a little bit more oxygen to the name of that company. Because I just like the way you say
Ding.
It. Pet Ding.
Pet Ding.
Nice.
Okay. They've created a hamster wheel for a cat to help your cat to burn off excess weight.
Well, I think we all need that in our lives, don't we? For our domestic pet, for our feline friends, our family members.
It comes with an app. And basically the cat chases a light around the hamster wheel. And with your app, you can move the light depending on how fast you'd like your cat to run on the hamster wheel. And it even feeds back the amount of calories that your cat has burned. So, I mean, for me, that's just out completely crazy. But
get data, grip some valuable data.
On your cat.
So why is it, if it's for a cat, why is it called a hamster wheel?
Well, isn't it? I mean, it's just a hamster wheel style. It's not called a hamster wheel.
It's called
Little Cat.
So and it's an inverted commas.
Yeah, it's a way that I would describe it because it looks like a hamster wheel, but a bigger.
It's like when you play billiards. Not that we play billiards, but when you play billiards and you snooker someone, it makes no sense, doesn't
that
it?
That's true.
Oh, haven't I billiards? It's the same with that.
It's 1,800 quid as well.
We want to talk about this fantastic tech, but now you've
sorry.
You've piqued my interest because I would ask about a cat, right? Cats aren't by their nature particularly good at following instructions.
No,
right?
I'd love to know how it did work.
How do you get cat? How do you keep it on the wheel?
I don't know. Maybe it gets on and maybe it just has to keep running because it's in that. I don't know.
Are they getting a fitter cat prior to being eaten? I don't know.
I think it's just if you were concerned about your cat's weight.
Is that a genuine?
I don't know. You've got cats. You've got three cats. Do you ever concern yourself over their weight?
Well, our cats are very lean.
They are very lean
and muscular because they go outside and they savage rodents essentially.
Mm.
But hey, I guess in an urban environment, limited space.
Yeah.
I mean, people do. Our neighbours. I'm getting all the insights today, ladies and gentlemen. Our neighbours have cats. They never let out.
Really?
Trapped
house cats.
In prison Guantanamo cat. I call it.
Aww.
Very strange.
Well, that might be good for that then.
Well, maybe. They've probably got one on the go already. Aren't we all in hamster wheels in a way, ladies and gentlemen? That's quite a philosophical twist on our podcast.
Indeed. Here. And there's one other one, which I thought was quite good, which was a VR tool. So basically a VR headset that stops you from getting car sick. So it's basically designed to be used in cars as a form of entertainment. So you can watch stuff or play games with your VR headset. But what's interesting about this one is that it doesn't create motion sickness. So if you put a VR headset on in a car, traditionally you might feel a bit sick. But the content actually moves as your car moves, and everything moves the same in sync. So you can sit. And apparently, some of the testing that was happening. So the journalist that I read this article from had actually tested it at 90 miles an hour on a racetrack, and apparently, often feels car sick, but didn't and enjoyed the entertainment. So. Quite interesting.
I'm enjoying this podcast because I'm getting to ask you questions, right? So say it's 11 months and about 25 days away. Do you think you'd enjoy a trip to CES 2020, which is quite a nice 2020 vision? I can see that one working quite nicely from a brand.
I quite fancy it.
Would you like a little meander?
I would quite fancy it. I think it's good to see all the stuff that's coming out. I think I agree with you that I think it would be good if some of it was a little bit more, I don't know, useful, I suppose. I really fancy South by Southwest. I think I'd rather go there. But I would, obviously I'd go to CES.
Beggars can't be choosers, as they say. Myself,
What have you discovered?
What caught my eye? The first thing I thought, just from a visual aesthetic, where I've ever been to something like those events, what is the thing that stops you and goes, wow, because someone dominates it visually because they've gone to town? Like you say, a Google, you know, fair,
theme park,
etc. I was pretty wowed by the LG TV screen thing they built, which was just like a giant, it was just a ridiculous bank of televisions, curved screens. When you see the perspective of it shot, when you see the photographs of the film, it's ridiculous. And then you put the footage on across these screens of waves and just nature. And it is kind of, I think you could probably just go to see it and stand there all day looking at it. And then you'd leave. And you'd probably go home quite happy. I'm quite excited and interested and slightly bemused. One thing I did like, you know, like our listeners here who are in the design trade, and they have the people who have two monitors at work.
Yeah.
I know someone who
I've got two at work.
Yeah, two. Mm. Three monitors some people go to, don't they, right? But I like this trend that they had, and I don't really know if they've ever existed before, other than the fact the first time I've ever seen one was on the CES coverage that I've been sort of delving into with you, was these 49-inch wide monitors.
Really?
Yeah. So it's like a surfboard on your desk. Good for gaming, apparently, yeah, but also good for... But yeah, why have two? It's just one continuous screen. It's just aesthetically, I had to get used to it a little while. You look at it, you sort of snigger, but actually, probably quite a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
The other thing, of course, is you know, the big TV, but everyone loves a TV story. Obviously, there's been like 4K and OLED and all that sort of stuff, organic LED. But obviously now there's this QLED, QD LED, if you want to give its full name, quantum dot light emitting diodes and stuff. So it's going to sort of 8K television, right? Is that a quality of picture that's better, I ask you, Gary Harrison, than actually real life? Could you get confused, right? Would you want to live in that? The other thing about it, isn't it? It's all about screen envy.
Okay.
And I said, I noted down dimensions of screen sizes that you can get it 98 inch, right? So you can have 65, 75, 82 and 85, right? And it's, I think it's a diagonal measurement.
Okay.
82 and 85, what's the...
Yeah.
You did say, you know, certain spaces, right? By the way, we're on location today, an agency. You know, what do you reckon?
We're looking at screen. I have no idea.
Don't know.
It's pretty big.
They've gone, but I don't think it's gone to 98-inch television screen, is it? In 8K. But I'd say to you, if you can do it at 98, surely, it's a bit like the 4-minute mile or whatever, or something you're going to give me, why not just go to the magic ton? Even from a marketing perspective, the 100. Isn't that the ultimate? The 100... inch television screen.
Yeah. I wonder why.
Passages run out of resources.
Maybe that'll be next year.
I don't know. Any other things? I mean, there are loads of things. You know, we've talked about. Yeah, I'm totally buying into entrepreneurs with a vision, with a dream, trying to change the world. You've got big companies doing. You've got tiny little entrepreneurs doing it. We're entrepreneurs, aren't we?
Yeah.
We haven't. But you have to kind of pivot and change. And in our short time together, we've already done that, haven't we?
Right? We have.
But we don't necessarily. We have a sort of product, but not these physical manifestations. And I do think, you know, everybody wants to get a piece of the action. Everybody wants to get seen. Everybody wants their thing to become the thing. But it strikes me there's just too many things, aren't there?
There's an awful lot of things. I mean, the ones I chose were pretty good and you could see how they could be used.
You know, and my good lady wife has been sort of pointing me recently in the direction of the old, because she's a bit of a, Mrs. N, she's a bit of a clutter monster, right? And this whole Marie Kondo thing on Netflix, this concept of only keeping the things in your life that are spark joy, right? What I like about it comes from a Japanese concept, Japanese word called tokameku, right? Which is, that is the Japanese word for spark joy. But if you actually break down the meaning of that word, interestingly, it means, how can one word mean flutter, throb, palpitate? Literally, you only hang on to the things that make you flutter, throb, and palpitate.
Okay.
Which is, you know.
Yeah.
And I wonder, you know, is, to me, technology is about creating something that either gives you the opportunity to do something you could never do before.
Yeah.
Or something that just makes life easier. And I wonder if some of these things, like we have this debate. Remember I told you about the CS thing of the Y brush, toothbrush. So instead of spending what is the optimum 2 minutes on brushing your teeth, you can put this kind of denture thing in your mouth. It's autonomous powered. You put your toothpaste in it, you bite on it, it vibrates or does something. Who knows what it does in your mouth for 10 seconds. And you've saved yourself technically, hypothetically, 110 seconds.
Yeah.
I think you'd like that.
I do. I would like that.
You'd like that because if you add up all the 110 seconds.
Yeah, I think that would save me quite a bit of time in the morning. I could do something much better with that time.
With that extra 110 seconds. I'd like that. You wouldn't use that just to meander. You would focus very kind of like...
That's the difference between me catching a train and not. I'm very often diving through the doors of a train. So, you know, that could make the difference. I could be on the platform.
Don't you like that little adrenaline thing when you're running? That isn't that part of what you love? You love... I thought, you know, in my investigations, like you said about the bathroom... commode, whatever you want to call
you found
it.
That too.
It was called the Numi 2 points. It is actually called the...
Is that for real?
It was the Numi 2, the number 2, which is a very... I'd be looking, as a name kind of conceit, I'd certainly be looking at that again, going back to the drawing board. So that's pretty much it. That's, you know, Tiny Giant Jams member carrier.
Pretty sure.
A fast-paced thing. And so we rattled through it. In terms of technology wisdom... Anything else you'd like to... What would you like... Oh, the other thing, of course, was that car with the... I think it was a Hyundai car, wasn't it, that went off terrain, so it had, like, legs. It had wheels and legs.
Really?
Those are some interesting things, I suppose. The notion... One of the trends of these kind of domestic robots. Not robots in the sense they walk around looking like a sort of human form. It's just these things that... Like, almost like, you know, bollards or whatever. These... Perhaps more bots, and you'll stop them, and you'll talk to it, and you get advice, or it might do something. You could do that. You know, the Hyundai car, a car with legs. That's an interesting thing.
It's pretty good. And there's also the folding tablet. Did you see that? The folding smartphone, which is actually a bit of a larger tablet, but quite good if you've got a small space and want to chuck it in a handbag or something.
Yeah, and then there was an autonomous helicopter hover. It was like a hover. I'll tell you, that's one. It's definitely one piece of tech you'll never get me in. Ever, because it's just not meant to. It's not meant to be. The whole concept of flying in autonomous helicopters, I think, quite a difficult psychological barrier to overcome.
I can see that.
But good luck to them. What I want to say, Kerry, is they're dreaming. They have a dream and they're chasing that dream, you.
And that is really about this. There's some really huge amount of work gone into all of this.
So you know, I think we've taken enough ear time of our listener today, haven't we?
Yeah. Hopefully we've covered a lot of the most exciting.
If you know nothing about CES, we might put some notes at the bottom, but you should investigate it because it is amazing. And you know, a lot of that tech is tech that is not like concept tech. It's tech that's out there, and you can get it, especially if you want an 8K telly for about $20,000. Good luck to you, I say. Go and investigate it because it's becoming part of our lives. I think the voice thing is massively interesting. It just goes to show that it's heading towards everywhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
And to that we salute it, don't we?
We do.
Because we love it.
We do.
Right, we're checking out.
Thank you very much.
We're checking out because we're going to be chucked out.
We are going to be chucked out.
Literally. So thanks for listening. We'll be back very soon with another podcast. You know where we are on the channels. Get in touch. Tell us what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like on the podcast, and maybe even what we'd love is guests, isn't it? Guests. That's it. It's a guesting game. Right, you want to say goodbye, Kerry Harrison?
Cheerio.
Well, that's very understated, but nice. And same with me. Goodbye. See you very soon. Cheers.